Trump, 45th President of the United States. And the pendulum swings, as it does throughout our history. This time, it swings toward a populist, isolationist philosophy. He called the American landscape, which had factories from sea to sea that were shuttered, people out of work, American carnage, he called it.
I'm telling you, this was very strong stuff. Very strong stuff. I did.
Radio.
Radio Free Beagle.
Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Are tuned in to the voice of the American Redoubt. This is episode 1722 of Radio Free Redoubt, John Jacob Schmidt Show. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, your host, and my name is your name too. If you are a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, aware of what's going on, you care about what's happening to your country, and you are willing to fight for our heritage and our values, the things that we cherish. Thank you guys for tuning in, and let me, before I go any further, happy Father's Day. I hope you all had a happy Father's Day for the fathers and grandfathers out there, raising up godly offspring, raising up young patriots, and virtuous young men and women. Thank you, fathers, for doing your part. No small task, is it? Well, I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about several things. I'm going to kind of pick up where I left off yesterday, talking about the coming civil war in our country. I already laid the foundation for that yesterday. If you missed it, go back and listen to that half hour show from KTW. Out of Spokane on AM 630, 96.5 on the FM dial in Spokane and Coeur d'Alene. And of course, all of our shows, all of our past shows are uploaded to our Podbean website, podcast host website. That's linked from our website, radiofreeredoubt.com, where you can just click on through, you know, where to listen. That'll give you all the instructions on where to listen to Radio Free Redoubt. Download it, share it with your friends. Thank you so much for sharing the word, spreading the word, and sharing Radio Free Redoubt with others. Okay, let's just jump right into the news, get that behind us. Interesting developments. The news is brought to you by the author Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the collapse in America, a civil war, a collapse of our economy, our socio-economic political system crumbles. Like that could really ever even happen. But it's a great story. All 10 books with the audiobooks out. Go to 299days.com. Okay, international news. This was breaking news just a little while ago as I was putting my notes together. My phone just started going berserk with all kinds of stuff this afternoon. A van mows down pedestrians near London Mosque. Police dealing with a major incident in the UK. I thought, wow, that's another one. Well, this is not just another one. It's not the same-o. People started posting, a van has literally ran over Muslims on their way back from prayer at Finsbury Park. Under what's happening in London, what's happening to London. So, of course, the first thought is, wow, is this a retaliatory anti-Muslim attack? as a here's a dose of your own medicine type of attack. But and I can already hear the anti-Muslim rhetoric, knee-jerk reactions from the left. This is a result of all the hate speech against Muslims, against jihadis, against refugees. But hold on a minute. Could this also be the beginning of the Sunni versus Shia Muslim conflict surfacing in other parts of the world besides the Middle East? Look at the suicide bombings we've had. Muslims killing Muslims in Baghdad, all over Iraq, Turkey, Egypt, all over the place. We have Sunnis killing Shia Muslims. Now, we don't know yet. I don't know. I haven't looked up the latest. More is going to be developing. This just happened just a little while ago. But before we jump to, some right-wing radical extremist mowing down Muslims in a van, that's the modus operandi of a jihadi. On the same day, and keep this in mind before I go into the next story, which ties in with this. Look at the history of the refugee camps all across Europe in the last couple of years. Almost daily, we see reports of melees, fights breaking out, people being stabbed, beaten in the refugee camps because of ethnic and sometimes religious differences, the different types of Muslims that are living together, having disagreements between the Wahhabist, the Sunni, and the Shia, fighting amongst themselves. They just fight with everybody. Just anybody that's not like them, just want to kill, stab. But here's, this also just developed today. This out of the Times of Israel. It's now permeated through most of the mainstream media. Iran launches a missile strike into Syria. Not against coalition forces, but against ISIS. This was apparently in retaliation to the bombing attacks, the terrorist attacks in Tehran, a week and a half ago? Now they fire Shahab-3 medium-range ballistic missiles. The first time they've used missiles in wartime, in a conflict in, 30 years since they were at war with Iraq. So they confirmed it. So there's Shia on Sunni. On the same day that we have a modus operandi of the jihadists mowing down pedestrians with a vehicle, but only this time it's Muslims that are targeted. So if this breaks out into a world global civil war between Shia and Sunni, as Islamified as the Western countries are becoming, we're in for real tumultuous times. Canada, it's just they can't get enough Muslims in their country fast enough. All of Europe, almost all of Europe. Now, bad timing to bring that fight, that family feud into your country. Well, people are going to, we don't know. We don't know what the motive was. We don't know the identity of the person driving the van. He is in custody. Interesting though, huh? Oh, there is something you guys can get behind. HR 2909, in referencing to the U.S. government's seat of power, Article 1, Section 8 of our U.S. Constitution declares, in part, that Congress has the power to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever. Remember, D.C., Washington, D.C., this is about reciprocity in Washington, D.C. And this is from a listener in Oregon who wrote a letter to his representative to get behind HR 2909. So let me read this. a little further here. We have just this week, the attempted assassination of several Republican members of U.S. Congress. While that particular incident occurred in a nearby suburb of Northern Virginia, which does offer partial reciprocity, the members and their staff have to work in D.C. and as such were unarmed. Had Representative Scalise, as a member of House leadership, not been present, it is likely that the Capitol Police would not have been present and that there would have been a massacre, in the words of Senator Paul, who was present at the incident. It's tragically ironic that Representative Scalise suffered the worst of the casualties. Because of him being so high profile, Capitol Police accompanied him, which is the reason, purportedly, why Capitol Police were even at that baseball game, where guns, men with guns, stopped a bad guy with a gun. But they were otherwise disarmed. So, reciprocity all over the place, including the District of Columbia. So, get behind that. That's H.R. 2909. Regional, oh my goodness, the pride flag raised over Washington State Capitol, the rainbow flag, move along. That's all I got for the news. I've got some other stories, but I really wanted to focus on what was going on overseas. That could be a very interesting development, interesting trend. And before I do take a break, these pedestrians being mowed down by a van intentionally yesterday, because my family says, what do you want to do for Father's Day? What do you want? So, you know what? I want to be with my family and I want to go over to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and I want to go to the Coeur d'Alene classic car show. It's huge. It's massive. I don't know, hundreds of classic cars on display. The streets are blocked off. They've got the vendors. They've got the 50s and 60s music playing. They've got contests and trophies for the cars. And these are beautiful classic cars. It makes me sick every time that I sold my 1970 Mustang 302 as soon as I got out of the Army. And one of my biggest regrets. Oh, it made me so sad. But beautiful. We had a great time. But I was talking to Mrs. Schmidt as we were walking down the center of the main street. It's called Sherman Avenue. And we went through, there's classic cars parked on both sides of the street for four blocks, at least, maybe five blocks. And in the center is people packed full of, it's, you look down the street and it's a wave, a thick wave of people. And I stopped and I looked the other way. Of course, we're packing. But I looked the other way and I'm about a half a block from the entrance of this. And there is nothing stopping. I told Mrs. Schmidt, this is a security violation. They should have some Jersey barriers set up down there. Or at least a large truck parked across the road. Because there is nothing stopping someone from getting in an 18-wheeler a block back and getting up to speed and just plowing down hundreds of people. You wouldn't see it coming. But there's music blaring. There's classic music, 50s and 60s type music playing. There's people are talking. It's loud. It's just lots of activity. I mean, you could roll. I'm like, this is, I was always continuously aware of it, just watchful. Thinking about that, we haven't seen that in the United States yet. We've seen other jihadi attacks, but we haven't seen that one. But this would have been a beautiful setup for it. It was perfectly set up. Just add jihadis. So situational awareness when you're out and about. Look around. Look for those vulnerabilities. Look at how they're operating. Look at the modus operandi. How are they, what is the method of their operations? How do they do their ops? besides, an explosion in the crowd, which, very difficult to detect, but a vehicle, that's cheap and easy to do, and it's easy to carry out, and the setting was perfect for it. So I was hyper-vigilant, let's just put it that way. But I also enjoyed my time with my family, and we just had a really great time. I was just aware of my surroundings. Okay, let's take a break. We'll be back in a minute here at the Voice of the American Redoubt.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. The 51st state, Liberty State, there are a lot of myths going around, and one of them is that it's unconstitutional to split a state. Well, that's simply ridiculous. Article 4, Section 3 of the United States Constitution says that no new state shall be formed or erected within the jurisdiction of any other state without the consent of the legislatures of the states concerned, as well as of the Congress. So all it takes is a vote of the House and Senate at both the national and state level to make it happen, and it's happened before. 1792 Kentucky, 1820 Massachusetts, 1863 West Virginia, and this is not to mention on the world stage, Catalan, Scotland, Ireland, and Brexit. You see, reestablishing boundaries to better represent the values, traditions, cultures, and customs of a people is actually a very normal phenomenon and the proper way to protect and preserve those beliefs for generations to come. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea Republican.
This is segment 2 of Radio Free Redoubt. You can email me by emailing johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. That's also our website, radiofreeredoubt.com. Help spread the word and spread the word of Radio Free Redoubt amongst your like-minded friends and family. This is segment 2, and segment 2 is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping patriots get strategically relocated to the safe haven and refuge that many hundreds of like-minded patriots are relocating to. Give them a call or check them out at SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. All right. There is, I put the word out that we want your guys' testimonies, those of you who have relocated. So each week, as this, keep them coming. Keep the testimonies coming in. This is the third week in a row now, and I'm going to do this every week. I'm going to read someone's testimony because the left is saying, this American Redoubt movement, you know what this is, don't you? It's salivating, frothing at the mouth, gun-toting, right-wing extremist prepper, religious preppers. That's how they like to define them. Like, hold on a minute. We're not going to let the left define us, because I know the people that are moving to the American Redoubt, strategically relocating, and they come from all walks of life. In all backgrounds, but they all have something in common. They are God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots who want to get their families out of occupied territory. So this is from, I'll use initials, Delta Mike, and this is number 3. So, dear John Jacob Schmidt, this is a short version of our move to the American Redoubt. I was an Air Force reservist who re-enlisted after 9/11, after a 13-year break in service. After serving with a reserve unit in California and doing many active duty backfill assignments and a trip to the sandbox, I secured a reserve position tied to an active duty unit with the 366th Civil Engineer Squadron at Mountain Home Air Force Base. That's in southern Idaho. Interesting is that I was born at that base when my dad was a pilot assigned there. I had not been to Idaho since we left in 1959. While TDY there, that's temporary duty, I got to see some of the state and, more importantly, meet a lot of good, genuine people here in Idaho. Coming from the People's Republic of California, where I grew up, it was refreshing to find people who would look me in the eye and take the time to chat, even for a minute. They didn't try to impress me. They were just real. I highly valued that. My civilian and military careers were cut short with a disability retirement. I saw my chance to immigrate to free America. We rented a house with almost 3 acres, and after a time, we bought it. I truly believe God has brought us here to the Southwest Idaho, as there are many events I could talk about that turned out in a way that I would not have foreseen and could not have planned. We discovered a preparedness store in Boise that promoted James Wesley Rawls' website survival blog, which led me to Radio Free Redoubt. I began listening to find out what this John Jacob character was about. I had learned of the redoubt from Joel Skousen's book, Strategic Relocation, that I heard about on InfoWars. The more I listened, the more peace I had about our move here, as your words gave me the sense that what I was feeling about the state of the Union, I was not alone in those feelings. There were actually American patriots that were joining together to help each other weather the coming storm and restore the Republic. I simply had to become part of that movement. Suffice it to say that as redoubters, we grow some of our food, reload some of our ammo, and are becoming as self-sufficient as we can. I got my technician ticket, and I'm studying for general. We are not crazy survivalists, but we do our best to be followers of Yeshua, our Messiah, and prepare for the worst. Our hope is that our preparedness will help us and bless others to survive the coming storm and emerge on the other side with the knowledge to restore America to what our founding fathers envisioned. We didn't move to Idaho to change it to the hellhole we left in California. We came here to enjoy and preserve the blessings of liberty that Idaho still enjoys. But dang, that was a tough winter. Delta Mike. Thank you very much for sharing your testimony. Again, we want to define who redoubters are. I want you guys' testimonies. Send them in. And we are going to, each week, as I read one, I'm going to add it to the redoubt testimony page. The stories of those who have taken the gap and strategically relocated. That posting is not up yet, but it's going to be going up soon. Within the next couple of days. So we've got these three testimonies, and we're just going to keep adding a new one each week as I share it with you guys. All right. June 30th through July 2nd is the God and Country Celebration 2017. The gates are going to open on Friday, June 30th. The first session will start that evening at 7 p.m. And that will go all the way through Sunday. So there will be vendors there starting Friday evening. That's up in Marble, Washington. So go to marblecountry.com. It's just going to be several hundreds of us up there. And I'll be speaking. Matt Shea will be speaking. And I know that there's several other folks lined up. And we'll have several Ameron and Ameron Core operators up there with communications set up on display and be answering people's questions and educating folks and talking about that as well. Really good stuff. Let's see what else. Oh, don't forget the poll at patriotpolls.org. If you haven't had a chance to vote for Liberty State, the state flag and the state seal for the movement for the 51st state, to form state in Eastern Washington. We've been talking about that for weeks. Go to patriotpolls.org and vote. And that's going to determine, you are going to help determine what the state flag and the state seal is going to look like for Liberty State. And we've also got another poll coming up. We've got about 15 options for bumper stickers. People have been asking for American Redoubt bumper stickers. And we've got about 15 proposed slogans and bumper stickers. So that poll is going to go up at radiofreeredoubt.com. Go make your voice heard. And the top probably 3 or 4 we're going to get under production right away. And we'll have those at God and Country. And so go vote. Go to radiofreeredoubt.com. Look for the posting for the poll, for the bumper sticker slogans, and make your voice known. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back in just a little bit. We're going to talk about the coming Civil War. in America. Is that possible? Well, we're going to talk about that. And if you didn't listen yesterday, go back and listen. Go back and listen. That is the KTW show from Saturday, June 17th. Stay right there.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Herbert A. Philbrick.
What is communism? I've been on the inside of communism. From this knowledge, I tell you as simply and seriously as I know how. Communism is a lying, dirty, shrewd, godless, murderous, determined, as J. Edgar Hoover says, a criminal conspiracy. I'm choosing these words deliberately. Lying, dirty, shrewd, godless, murderous, determined, and it is not an American political party like any other. It's an outlawed organization, taking its orders and instructions from another government to do everything possible to destroy our government. It's an international criminal conspiracy.
We're back with segment three. And segment three is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design. Go to strategiclandscapedesign.com before you commit to purchasing your property. One of the services that they offer, and they offer several, they're conservative, self-reliant minded business designed specifically to help you, especially when you are buying new property. But they can help you even if you already have property and you want to make it defensible. You want to get the absolute most out of it for self-reliance. Check them out at strategiclandscapedesign.com. But one of the services they have is that they also will walk through the property with you before you commit to buying, to go over it top to bottom to make sure that it's right for you and to help you see things that maybe you not. We're not even aware that you needed to look for. Okay, yesterday I set the stage for this, so I don't want to go back and rehash that. But for those of you that listened, which is most of you, I saw a Facebook posting today in a group that I'm in. In this title, a lot more people are seeing this. The Threat of Civil War, Breakdown of Self-Governance. And he writes, the attempt to solve social problems by means of physical force is what a civilized society is established to prevent. The advocates of mass civil disobedience admit that their purpose is intimidation. A society that tolerates intimidation as a means of settling disputes. The physical intimidation of some men or groups by others loses its moral right to exist as a social system, and its collapse does not take long to follow. I absolutely agree with this. Now, he threw in a Ayn Rand quote. Politically, and this is Ayn Rand being quoted here, stating, politically, mass civil disobedience is appropriate only as a prelude to civil war, as the declaration of a total break with a country's political institutions. Now, there's two sides of this. There's two ways of looking at this. One would be from a conservative, patriot, liberty-minded person. And then there's the communist or even anarchist, which is kind of strange. Extreme right, extreme left, communist and anarchist. Isn't that strange? Anarchy is no government, no government control at all. And communism is full government control. And you got the anarchists allying themselves with the communists. This is pretty amazing what we're seeing actually unfold. But I would say to Ayn Rand's statement, actually more accurately, I think it would be to say that mass violent civil disobedience is not appropriate. It's just often a prelude to civil war. But at the beginning of our country, when we had this breakup, the Revolutionary War, it was preceded by civil disobedience, wasn't it? But those were conservative, right-wing, conservative, God-fearing patriots. Nowadays, you have this prelude to civil war coming from godless, hateful, violent, anti-American communist revolutionaries, and many of them anarchists. They want no government at all. So that would really go over well, wouldn't it? All right. So how do you know? How do we know that a civil war is coming? Well, the indicators are all there. And I'm going to spend the next, I'm going to be revisiting this over the next, you know, several weeks. But there was one, professor. He is an economics and history professor at St. Olaf College. And he was asked the same question. What are the indicators? And he says, well, first, you'd expect to see a nation extremely divided over an issue, with the split largely occurring along geographical boundaries, though that's not a necessity. And here, our geographical boundaries aren't so much geography or topography, rather, but it's urban versus rural we're seeing largely. The government would be very factionalized, which it is. Secondly, you'd likely see acts of violence occurring related to this issue and an increasingly militarized populace. Are we seeing a militarized populace? Increasingly so? Yes. There would likely be talk and speculation of secession or war long before it began, unless, of course, it starts with a coup. Otherwise, you never really know. Wars are a difficult phenomenon to predict. Well, it's not that difficult to predict. If we continue down the same path that we're on, we're headed for war. We're headed toward a civil war, not one that we are looking for. And when I say prepare for war, I'm not saying take up arms, it's time for you to go to war, we're going to go on the offensive. I'm saying it is coming and it's going to be in your lap, whether you want it to or not, because the anti-American communist revolutionaries are arming and they are training. And if you take them at their word as far as what their intentions are, they plan to escalate the violence until we are forced into compliance with their globalist, leftist, anti-American communist agenda. So our two choices are to submit so we can just go along and get along, or we can say there are some things that I absolutely cannot compromise on and I must resist you with equal or greater level of force when I'm forced to, when the time comes. So when that time comes, you will not be able to resist if you are not prepared for it, if you don't train for it. There is a great article that was written by Matt Bracken. He's an author. You guys have heard of his stuff from Enemies series, Enemies Foreign and Domestic, Domestic Enemies, The Reconquista, and Foreign Enemies and Traitors. Now, these books come highly recommended from dozens of people that I've talked to. They are on my list. I have not read them yet, and they are on my to-do list. But I have a lot of books. I have a stack of books that are on my list of must-read books. So I have not read these, but I've read the reviews. I've spoken to people that I trust and look up to, and they speak very highly of Matt Bracken's books. He wrote an article called The CW2, or Civil War II Cube, Mapping the Meta-Terrain of Civil War II. So, I want to direct you to the article at Western Rifle Shooters Association, or WRSA. And I'm just going to share a little bit with you, a teaser, so that hopefully you'll want to go over there and read the rest of the article, because it is excellent. He writes, a second civil war in the United States would be an unparalleled disaster. Nobody who is sane and who has studied modern civil wars from Spain to Lebanon to the Balkans and beyond, would ever wish to see one occur. But if political, cultural, demographic trends are sweeping us toward that unhappy destiny, it would be wise to at least cast a weather eye over the possible terrain. So, he goes into this and breaks down. This is what's interesting. He makes a very strong case for what it would look like in the United States if we were headed toward a civil war. Now, that was 7 years ago. By the way, wow, we just had our six-year birthday. Radio Free Redoubt's been on the air for 6 years as of June 5th. Isn't that, wow, how the seasons fly. So let me go down through the article. So of what use is the CW2 cube? And this is a visual model of for predictability of a internal conflict within a country. And we're all there. I would actually like to get a hold of him and follow up with this 7 years later, where he would take that model now and apply it, kind of extrapolate, you know, extract that forward into, you know, 2017. So that's what's that CW2 cube is, the Civil War II cube, which is just a visual model. And other than in providing a conceptual map for Civil War II, in my research as a novelist who attempts to write realistic fiction about the coming years, I have long been a student of modern civil wars. One repeated lesson of modern civil war is that there is inherently dangerous, even fatal, terrain. Some of this predictably dangerous terrain is often highly desirable and even advantageous before the outbreak of civil war. To begin, you do not want to live as a trapped and cut off minority in what might become enemy territory. You hearing this, Redoubters? If you live amidst your civil war enemies, as defined and located within the CW2 cube, you will that Civil War II model, you will be in mortal danger even if your immediate neighbors know, love, and respect you. Those persons who have a stake in fanning the flames of CW2, and their numbers shall be legion, will intentionally target those remaining holdouts who may be respected minority neighbors. In this essay, minority means the minority within a given group or area. Blacks are the majority in some areas, and whites are the minorities in some areas, and so on. So, this is what he says about people that are in occupied territory, outside the free zones. Those embittered unfortunates who have already been ethnically cleansed will be seeking new living quarters and the homes and property of enemy minorities still living in the majority territory will be the first on the chopping block, not the auction block, because payment of any kind is rarely offered. This process of minority eviction becomes self-perpetuating. We actually saw this in the Bolshevik Revolution. We've seen this in many other revolutions and civil wars. If you are the minority, in other words, a God-fearing, liberty-loving Christian homeschooling couple living in Central California when all of this breaks. Often, those members of minorities who escape as refugees are the lucky ones who do not lose their lives during the back and forth of escalating violence. The fact that they may have been loved, admired, and respected for many years by their majority population neighbors will not protect them. This is a clear lesson of modern civil war. Another is that while the rich or the well-to-do can sometimes hide their wealth and pass as proles, the same cannot be said about concealing one's racial or ethnic identity. Religious affiliation and political leanings can also be hidden, but outward appearance cannot. Civil war, too, may begin on purely political grounds, but it will devolve into something worse. You guys getting this? Okay. While Civil War II is on the table for discussion, allow me to introduce two aggravating factors that don't fit neatly on the cube. The first is the concept of multiple embedded minorities. And, you know, this is where I was saying, you know, we've got three different groups that you've got this, unfortunately, this strong communist influence among some in the militant black members of the United States, the black community. And then there are the Reconquista type of South American demographics in Southwest United States that are flying Palestinian and Mexican flags, saying they're going to take this back. They're going to be self-ruling one day. And so there is all the makings for conflict there. So you've got these three different ethnic groups as well. So let's see here. Let me move on. I want to focus mostly on the second aggravating factor. That's the unstable triangle of the three-sided civil war. And that is, you know, the militant communists, and then you've got the militant, the Latino population in the Southwest United States, more and more so talking about, you know, open hostility to take the Southwest United States back. The Bosnian Serbs, Croats, and Muslims provide a classic example. Each side of the unstable triangle will backstab yesterday's ally at the moment they perceive themselves to be at a local disadvantage, or when they see an opportunity to wipe out an historic enemy with a new final solution. The unstable ethnic triangle in the United States will in many places be composed of black, white, and Hispanic sides. By comparison, the old black and white social dichotomy was inherently stable, even when it might have been rife with injustice. In some areas, Asians, Middle Easterners, Native Americans, and other groups will contribute to the formation of regional social geometries that are even more unstable than the unstable triangle. Study modern civil wars and you will cringe at the implications. A steel roller coaster overloaded with old dynamite and electric blasting caps during a lightning storm comes to mind. Yeah, because now there is that element. You've got large enclaves of Muslim communities in the United States, especially in urban areas that are built up, where you have communist, you have militant minority groups, and now Muslims. So this very interesting article here. I hope I'm not doing it injustice by just hitting on some of these components, because you're going to get the full context of it when you read it yourself. And finally, some urban settings are just disastrous during a modern civil war, even if they might offer a terrific quality of life during peacetime. And of course, we know that the urban areas are areas that you want to definitely get out of. So he says, so should you stay or should you go? If you don't believe that another civil war in America is possible, then simply disregard this column. But if you think that a second civil war could happen, then picture the CW cube and map your location within it. And if you think that you live near a possible civil war fault line, especially as a local minority, consider relocating. Now, when I talk about minority, I'm talking about ideologically and even religiously a minority in areas where it's the communist influence groups, regardless of the color of their skin. It is communist influence groups that are talking about open hostility, and that now that we are actually seeing them carry it out. This is not religious lines, other than it is strictly, clearly anti-conservative, anti-Christian. This is a good article. I'm going to link through that as well. And you guys, you need to be prepared to fight for Americanism. Don't let it go out without a whimper. I know things seem good for many people, especially in the American Redoubt. I was at the car show yesterday, at that classic car show. People didn't have a care in the world. Life's good. I mean, there's no crime, not even just, there was no hint It was just good. It was all American. German sausage and hot dogs and classic music and classic cars. And people were just in a good mood. And it was sunny. It was a perfect, beautiful day in America. It was just great. But that's a bubble. Outside of that bubble, there's a different America. It's changing. It is not the same as when all those cars were built. America was a different country. It's completely different now. But when you're inside that bubble, it's hard to see. And it's hard to make yourself, well, you don't want to give up that that comfortable, secure lifestyle and think about our country changing and even turning hostile. So some folks don't want to do anything. In this earlier, thinking about the folks that just don't care enough to do anything to preserve what we have. They don't want it to go. They don't want America to go the way that it's going. They are conservative, but it just requires too much energy for them. Just to even do something small, something, anything, just to care enough to do, even if millions of conservative Americans did something, anything small, it could make a difference. But they, you know, so many times they don't, they grumble and that's it. And because of that lack of willingness, they're willing to be enslaved. Not consciously, but they're going to end up becoming enslaved. And it really takes so little effort to avoid that in comparison to the energy that it would take once you're already enslaved to break the chains and to regain freedom. They just don't know. And I was listening to this song by Pink Floyd, Wish You Were Here. And the lyrics just jumped out at me. Did you exchange a walk-on part in the war for a lead role in the cage? And I don't know. Sounds like something Jordan Page would bring up in a concert. I think he actually has played that song. This made me think of that. But we'll be right back.
Did you exchange walk on part in the road for a lead role in a cage?
This is Chris Walsh of Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a revolutionary, 208-667-1776.
Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more. All right, we're back here with segment four, a little belated. I'm sorry about that for our live listening audience on Sunday evening. Right at the end of that outro, going into the break, my computer froze up. And it just completely locked up for like 2 minutes. And then I got the blue screen of death saying their physical memory dump Windows is shutting down to protect your computer. And it just went. So, yeah, it just went dead. So here we are recording segment four, I'm just going to splice it into the podcast. So you guys that were listening during the week or on Sunday evening can listen during the week. Those of you who just download the podcast during the week don't even know the difference. So Windows, I'm switching this thing. I got to rebuild this computer anyway. So I'm going to just set up Linux on my studio laptop. It's been a great computer. Some listeners actually bought that almost 5 years ago. And this thing has done so much heavy lifting. Really nice, but my goodness, it's been through the trenches. So, that's where we are. Okay, now, what I wanted to cover in segment four was Father's Day. For fathers. With a little message toward the end with that ties in with this message about the coming Civil War, which by all indicators and analysis, it looks inevitable that at some point, if we stay on the current path that we are on, as divided as we are, ideologically, culturally divided, with a very strong communist revolutionary type of influence, that's where we're headed. And we need to prepare for that as conservative Christian patriots who may have to go down the same path as our founding fathers and fight for Americanism once again to restore the republic, or at least restore or preserve those ideals in demographic regions that are still strongly conservative and still hold true to those values such as they are. Wall Builders always does a great job. I'm a huge proponent of Wall Builders, as you guys all know. I'm going to put this link in the highlights and resources posting. This takes us to the Wall Builders posting about fathers and education. Fathers and education, the role that we as fathers and grandparents, for those of you who are grandparents, play in our children's upbringing. As we honor our fathers today, let's take a look at some of the men in American history, including our founders, most of whom were fathers. Their writings reveal that they believed a knowledge of and reliance on the scriptures was an important part of being a father. Young Daniel Webster recounted a conversation he had with an elderly Thomas Jefferson on this point, and he said, "I have always said and will always say that the studious perusal of the sacred volume will make better citizens, better fathers, and better husbands." Founders believed that it was their duty not only to rely on the Bible, but also to teach it to their children. For example, John Adams, who spent a good portion of the war for independence away from his family, outlined to his precious wife, Abigail, the education of their children should receive. And he said, "The education of our children is never out of my mind. Train them to virtue. Habituate them to industry, activity, and spirit. Make them consider every vice as shameful and unmanly. Fire them with ambition to be useful. Make them disdain to be destitute of any useful or ornamental knowledge or accomplishment. Fix their ambition upon great and solid objects, and their contempt upon little, frivolous, and useless ones." There's more. I don't want you guys to go and read this at wallbuilders.com. But the common question that we get, and I want you to think about the answer, because this is common. Fathers, what do you want for Father's Day? And this is a question that we often get. What do you want for Father's Day? And this is a question that I got from my family. So since we are heading into tumultuous times, I would like to make a suggestion, fathers. What do you want for Father's Day? Now, if you haven't really been thinking, that was difficult for me. I don't want anything. I just want to spend time with you guys. I'm not in need of anything. I mean, there's lots of things I want, but I don't want you to think getting me something. But here's a Father's Day gift, and that is to take the family out for some firearms training. How's that? Men, women, and children, everybody in the household. And I mean real firearms training. I don't mean going to the range. I want to encourage you, especially fathers and your sons, but even your whole families, to invest in a skill where they may have to defend life, liberty, and property and American ideals once again against the enemy that is arming and training right now to force you into chains and slavery. There is something that's very foreign to Americans that's on the horizon, and that is being faced with threats with your very life on you, your family, your community, your state, your region, with people who are planning on killing people who disagree with a globalist, statist, leftist, godless agenda. So things are going to escalate, and this is something that should be instilled into our offspring. Now, I'm reminded of Ecclesiastes 3:8 that says, there's a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time of peace. And there's a whole litany of examples of things that there's a time for. We've lived in peace, but there is war on the horizon. And that's not something to be fearful of, but it is something to take seriously. And so many people have gone before us, have had to fight for their freedom. All across Europe, during Nazi, the Reich, during the spread of communism. And men, women, and even children had to participate so that they could be free again. So there is a time for these things, and there is a time for war. I want to read just a few scriptures to you about war. Nation will go to war against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in many parts of the world, as well as famines, but this is only the first of the birth pains with more to come. That's from Mark 13:8, talking about coming closer to the end times. Proverbs 24:26 says, for waging war, you need guidance, and for victory, many advisors. And I encourage you to surround yourself with wise counsel as you make these kind of decisions. Then it doesn't have to be war. I mean, whether you're going to a business deal, whatever it is, it's wise to seek guidance, wisdom, and advisors. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. And that's in Deuteronomy 20:4. And that was speaking to the Israelites. And in many cases, the Lord actually went out and did the battle for them. I've referred to several examples where the Israelites didn't even have to lift a finger. They had to just trust in him, and their enemies were slain by the Lord. But there are some times when people have to go out there trusting in the Lord that he'll guide them and protect them, and they have to swing their swords. There's no magical formula except to trust in the Lord. Sometimes he will fight the battles for you, and sometimes you have to fight them, and he is with you. We saw that at the beginning of our country. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord. That's from Proverbs 21:31. 2 Samuel, he trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze, from Psalm 18:34. It's in two different places. So that you can, if you are ever forced to have to bend a bow, that you trust in the Lord that he will train your hands for battle. I want to urge you to train your hands for battle, hope that you never need it. But I want to encourage you sometime this year, and I'm doing this, I am taking a course with Codename K from Combat Studies Group. He teaches combat handgun and battle rifle, and I'm going to be taking the carbine course with him in August. And some folks and patriots that I've talked to have taken his course. Of course, he's not the only one. And go to combatstudiesgroup.blogspot.com, and you'll be able to see a list of the schedules, the schedule of the different courses. We place a lot of heavy emphasis on communications, radio operators, and grid up as communication specialists, well-rounded communication specialists, to use computer security and tradecraft if the grid is up. If the grid is down, then we are proficient radio operators that can handle traffic for helping our communities in times of need. But this is a fundamental skill. You should be proficient with combat medicine, first aid, and with functioning with a battle rifle and handguns, your swords, and your knives and your spears. You should know how to operate a radio. You should learn basic land navigation skills. You should be self-reliant, and there's some fundamental soldiering skills that you should know. So, although we place emphasis on radios, I don't want you to neglect the other basic fundamental, what are called common tasks for soldiers. Soldiers' common tasks. Shoot, move, and communicate. You got to be able to do all of those things. And because of the challenges that are coming to our country, I think it's time that we start expanding to make sure that we're well-rounded in our skill sets. So, Father's Day. My Father's Day present, my family asks, I want all of them to participate in a carbine course to become proficient with their carbines. And I'm going to talk more about that. I'm going to wrap things up here, but I'm going to talk about more of this, and I'm going to carry this over into next week's show as well. And this isn't something that we want. This isn't something that we desire. This is something that we want to avoid, if at all possible, to live with them peacefully, if at all possible. But if not, to be ready to defend the blessings of liberty and defend our heritage and our families in life and liberty and property. Does that make sense? Okay, good. Hope so. And more to come. But I'm a little thrown off here because of this computer thing, but that is going to be moving to the top of my priority list because this thing's been just acting up more and more, and I cannot have that happen, especially in the middle of a broadcast. So, all right, thank you guys for understanding. Thank you for your prayers and your support. Appreciate it, and you have a blessed week. Keep in touch, John Jacob at RadioFreeRedoubt.com. Keep those testimonies coming in. I have nothing further. So go forth, fathers, and train your children. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and this is the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.